Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Jets Podcast on fansfavorite.com.
And good afternoon, Jets fans. This is the Jets Podcast on fansfavorite.com as we talk about the New York Jets going through, of course, rookie minicamp and the current OTAs. Along with Rick Lachlan, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Rick, it's been a while since we've talked. And obviously, the last thing we talked about was Sam Darnold being drafted by the New York Jets out of USC. And seeing Todd Bowles, I would have to say, surprisingly, very excited to see Sam Darnold wearing Jets practice gear for the first time ever. And, of course, his excitement and smile, we've never seen that before with him, joking around, yelling about, he looked great, I want him to play right now. That was great coming out of Todd Bowles.
Oh, man, yeah, and finally showing a little bit of personality, cutting loose. You know, he seems so guarded with the media, Todd Bowles, that it was kind of refreshing, actually, for him to kind of jab back at the media. And, you know, during my time as a beat reporter, I'm sure with you too, you know, covering the Giants, covering the Jets, how silly it gets with reporters tweeting out snap counts, tweeting out how many, completions are during 7-on-7 drills. I mean, all these things are just overblown as far as Darnold, some of the early reports from his first practice that he was fumbling snaps, that this is the beginning of the end. As we know, Daniel, covering this team for a long time now, that you can't overreact to things that are going on during training camp. It's going to be a learning process. And Darnold, even though he was considered the most polished and pro-ready quarterback of the quarterback draft class, he still has a long way to go until he becomes and evolves into a franchise quarterback. And there's no assurance that he's going to become the starting quarterback this year. He still has to outperform Teddy Bridgewater and Josh McCown, who I think, again, showed that he could still be a capable starter, but at this point is more of a mentor than probably a likely starter. You know, Darnold has a great situation where he doesn't have the world of expectation on his shoulders, but if he surprises some people, competes well in training camp, the Jets are not competitive at the second half of their schedule, he might get his first taste of the NFL, and I think ultimately that would be the best-case scenario for Jet fans because they get to see Darnold this year. He get some experience under his belt, but you don't want to go into the Mark Sanchez syndrome where you just throw him in there, trial by fire, throw him to the wolves and see if he is able to survive, because we saw how that panned out for Mark Sanchez, and it didn't end well for him or for the Jets organization.
I'll be honest with you, Rick. I think with the Mark Sanchez situation, while he did regress, I felt that, Rex Ryan helped with that regression. And at the same time, Tannenbaum, who was the general manager at the time, he took away some popular weapons away from Mark Sanchez. And we all know it's a salary cap league, and you're not going to have your favorite targets for very long after a couple of years. But I felt, not only was Mark Sanchez regressing on his own, he had some help with that regression from the coaching staff and the general manager. So that's the unfortunate thing. Here with Sam Darnold, obviously we are not going to know until he really gets onto the field. And obviously it'll be like probably the preseason games where he'll probably get a quarter here and there in the first two games of the preseason. Obviously he's not going to start right away. So basically, the battle for the starting quarterback job is right now between Teddy Bridgewater and Josh McCown. And with Josh McCown still on this team, my opinion is this. This will be the last year I think he's going to have. I think he already knows he's coming up to the time where, this is it. This is the last hurrah. And I would like to believe either as a starting quarterback and then replaced in the middle of the year, or if Teddy Bridgewater succeeds Josh McCown in training camp and in the preseason, then, McCown, whether, you'll like it or not, and I know most will like it, and probably he will too, McCown will become not just a mentor, but a quarterback's coach, and I like to think the Jets should sign him as quarterback's coach just so they can help Sam Darnold get to a point where, he'll be more comfortable in the pocket. And once again, I don't want to see Sam Darnold start. I don't. Every Jet fan wants to see this kid do well, and so do I. But I think it would be the best interest for the Jets, as well as for Darnold, that he just does not touch the ball or the field either the first half of the year or at least I would have to say all I can say is that it's just one of those things where I don't want to see Darnold stepping on the field at all, either to start the year or go through the entire year without touching the ball, and that's fine by me.
And I think for Darnold to start, it has to be the right circumstances, as I alluded to before. I think if the Jets are ultimately going to put all their eggs in one basket, they're going to hand the keys to the franchise to Darnold, then you're basically mailing in the 2018 season. And frankly, again, is he going to be pro-ready? I know the Mark Sanchez, you're comparing apples and oranges, because in Mark Sanchez's case, even Pete Carroll, who was his coach at the time at USC, felt that Sanchez probably needed another season of collegiate football under his belt in order to be pro-ready. And I think Darnold, while he still has some development ahead of him, is much further along than Sanchez was at that point in his career. But when, you know, I'm not going to try to get inside Mike Maccagnan's head, but if I understand his thought process, I think by bringing back Josh McCown, he's exactly that. He's a guy that's an heir apparent as a quarterback coach. He ultimately, at this stage in his career, has some football left and can serve as an insurance policy for Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, Bridgewater's coming off a very serious injury and a guy that is playing for his next contract, whether that's with the Jets or somewhere else. He's out to prove something. So the Jets are, in that regard, have high hopes for him that he's going to come and be the quarterback he was back in 2015 when he led the Minnesota Vikings to the playoffs. But, you know, they can't exactly, in the same way they can't put all their eggs in one basket with a rookie quarterback in Sam Darnold, they can't do the same for Teddy Bridgewater, who has just been befallen by injuries the past couple of seasons. And I think that Josh McCown fits perfectly into that role. He understands that, look, if he starts, great. He's shown that he's a capable quarterback. If he has to serve as a mentor to Darnold, or perhaps if Bridgewater goes in and gets injured, he has to spot start, he'll do that. So he's in a good place in his career. And I think Maccagnan, it was a shrewd signing by him because, again, I know a lot of people say, well, if you have three quarterbacks, you really don't have any. But given where the Jets are in their quarterback situation, Darnold is probably not entirely ready. It's not the best situation to throw him in there. You don't know what you're going to get with Bridgewater as far as health is concerned. And Josh McCown is the proven commodity that, you know, isn't exactly at the age of 39 years old going to be the future of the franchise, but he can still win some football games in the immediate future. So the Jets, you know, in my estimation, are in a good situation at quarterback, much better than they were following Brett Favre when he left the team for the Minnesota Vikings following that 2008 season. And basically you had Mark Brunell, who at that stage in his career was even older than Josh McCown and didn't have any winning football left in him, and Mark Sanchez. So I think in this regard, you have three capable quarterbacks, all that are going to push each other, and you have a mentor for your young rookie quarterback and Sam Darnold. I like the way this quarterback room is going to shake out, and I think we may not see the fruits of the labor this year in 2018, but I think down the road you're going to see a guy in Sam Darnold that when they do plug him in and when he is starting, he will be much more ready than we've seen from any of the young Jets quarterbacks over the years.
Exactly, Rick. And, of course, that leads us to, of course, the Jets releasing Bryce Petty, as he is now signed with the Miami Dolphins, and then they made a deal with the Oakland Raiders, soon to be the Las Vegas Raiders, as Josh Hackenberg has been traded to the Oakland Raiders for a 7th-round conditional draft pick. You know, you knew when last year ended, the quarterback situation was a big, big question mark because of Petty, because of Hackenberg. No one knew what you had in Hackenberg. Petty, at least you knew what you had. And while, unfortunately, he's injury-prone, Petty, you have to say it. You know, these guys, I mean, I wish them the best of luck in the NFL. You know, Petty, especially down in Miami and as a backup. But still, though, it's a situation where they just weren't cutting it, or the Jets didn't feel comfortable with them. And, you know, they go down from 5 to 4 now to 3 quarterbacks on the roster. And I think it's just the correct thing what they did.
Yeah, and I mean, again, the only reason, frankly, that he was even on the roster this past season, clearly it was not a football decision. It was a Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles essentially trying not to admit that they made a past mistake, that they should have just moved on from Christian Hackenberg when some of the practice reports that surfaced from the media were true, that they didn't think he was a franchise-type quarterback. They didn't think he could even play in the league or serve as a backup. Those should have been warning signs and red flags immediately that the Jets should look to have moved him, perhaps to get a later pick like they did with the Raiders maybe last year. But because of the fact that Maccagnan and Todd Bowles, they didn't want to give up on a second-round draft pick, which in one regard you can understand, but when 2 and 3 years goes by and he's not even playing in the regular season, when he's not even playing meaningful minutes in the preseason or getting enough practice reps for you to get a good look at him, it just becomes a waste of a roster spot. And, you know, the Jets had to make a move, and I think ultimately, again, the fact that you got anything for Christian Hackenberg and, you know, just a couple short years ago was a second-round pick, but the fact they got a seventh-round draft choice, they should cut their losses, move on. They have a very strong quarterback room moving forward, and they have to be thankful for that. And I just don't think that Christian Hackenberg factored in to their future plans. And look, maybe a change of scenery. He could potentially be a second stringer, or at least be part of a quarterback room as a third string guy that maybe down the road, who knows, there's some late bloomers. Even look at Josh McCown. He spent how many years as a backup playing with marginal to sub 500 teams. And he had his opportunity to shine with the Jets last year. So, you know, there's only 32 of these positions available across the NFL. And while you don't want to necessarily give up on any of these players that you draft in the early rounds, when the early returns aren't promising, I think you have to cut bait, and that's exactly what Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles did. But, you know, I just think it was probably a year too late, that this should have probably been done prior to the start of last season.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, we're not in the Jets front office. We're not at the practice facility in Florham Park. We don't know what they were thinking of. We don't know why they were thinking of it or anything like that. But, you know, you had to keep your cards close to the vest, as they say. So that's why, unfortunately, they did what they did. And you know what, though? That's fine, because you know what? Sam Darnold came into their lap. Now, let me ask you this. Many people had Darnold predicted as the number one draft pick going to the Cleveland Browns. And, of course, now, of course, you know, reports coming in saying, well, you know, they thought that Darnold was going to get drafted by the Browns and that they're going to take Baker Mayfield at number three. How surprised were you that, you know, the Browns decided to do a 180 and take Baker Mayfield instead of, you know, taking Darnold?
Yeah, and it's funny because I did a pre-draft podcast with our colleague Michael Cohen, and I had thought that the Jets ultimately, I didn't think, my personal opinion was they should not take Baker Mayfield. I had a strong feeling they would if he was available and on the board. And it's funny because the only team that with a worse track record of drafting quarterbacks than the Jets is the Cleveland Browns. And for them to basically save the Jets from themselves and to take Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick, I think it's just an absolute blessing in disguise for the Jets. I ultimately thought that Sam Darnold was the consensus number one overall pick, that the Jets absolutely should take him if he was available and on the board. And, you know, again, Baker Mayfield, did he have some ability, and is he a top three quarterback in the draft class? Absolutely. But, you know, given the choice between him and Darnold, it wasn't even close in my mind. I just didn't like some of the off-the-field antics with Baker Mayfield. I think that, you know, his size being undersized at 5'10", is going to be a detriment to him at the pro level. And look, we've seen some quarterbacks that are under 6 foot do well, even Russell Wilson, but that guy has exceptional escapability outside the pocket and athleticism. And while Baker Mayfield was effective as a running quarterback at Oklahoma in the college ranks, I don't see that necessarily translating into the pro game, where you have defensive ends who essentially are faster than some of the linebackers and some of the cornerbacks at the collegiate level. So for me, you know, I ultimately think that the Jets are, this is a blessing in disguise. They had this guy drop into their laps. And again, it's all going to be all about the development process now with Sam Darnold, that they have to develop him and not rush him along, because we know that Jet fans can be hasty. We know that at times the regimes that have been in the front office, Mike Maccagnan at times has been hasty. We saw John Idzig, you know, trying to push the envelope, maybe developing players too fast. They have to let this thing run its course. But again, I, as a Jet fan, was 100% behind the organization for drafting Sam Darnold. Now they have to execute this properly and give him time to acclimate to the pro level. And I think that they will be smart about it and do that.
This is where I wish the World League of American Football would come in and just be that developmental league for NFL players coming out of college and everything else that goes on with the NFL, because, he probably would have done some pretty good things for the Jets down the road. And he still can, Sam Darnold, but we'll see what happens there. OTAs now. First things first, Rick. It's great seeing Quincy Enunwa back. Of course, the neck injury that he suffered before the season last year knocked him out of the wide receiver core. It's a situation where you're so happy and thrilled that he's back. He's out there performing. He's absolutely doing a job during OTAs. He's made some interesting catches, whatever we've seen on video from the Jets app or from the Jets video department on their website. It's just wonderful to see Quincy Enunwa back out on the training field right there.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's a player and a guy that the Jets have been waiting to get back forever, and a guy that was on the rise to stardom. I mean, you could tell that he was evolving into a number one wide receiving option. And the fact now that he's not going to be in the shadow of an Eric Decker or a Brandon Marshall, the Robbie Anderson now with those charges being dropped, obviously you're not sure what happened, whether this was a he said, she said situation with Robbie Anderson. So, his character issues could come into play, and you don't know. It could be a Sheldon Richardson situation where he could face further suspension for disciplinary issues. So to have a Quincy Enunwa hopefully returning healthy, a guy is a big-bodied receiver that has world-class speed at that size, at 6'4", 220-plus pounds. That's a highly sought-after commodity in the pro level. And to have the luxury of that for any quarterback, whether it ends up being a Teddy Bridgewater, a Josh McCown, or dare I say a Sam Darnold, that's only going to help this Jet offense get off the ground, because we know that last year that wide receiver, aside from Robbie Anderson, there were few playmakers on the field. And if you put Robbie Anderson opposite Quincy Enunwa, that's a good start to a wide receiving corps that can make some plays. And hopefully this Jet offense that was, bottom third in the NFL, not necessarily the worst, but certainly not the best, you'd hope they make some exciting plays to help support a defense that is getting younger, getting faster, and, hopefully rising the ranks to crack the top 10 in the league rankings in the NFL.
And, let me just say this as well. Jermaine Kearse, when you're rewatching some of these Jet games from last year, and, you got to watch the wins and you have to watch the losses, but definitely the best game that the Jets won, you have to go back to the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And, I know that game was a crazy, nutty game. Jets were down 14-0, coming back 14-14. And at the half, they led at least by a touchdown, or at least by 4 points, before getting two field goals. And then Kansas City reclaiming the, taking the lead again. Jets taking the lead again. Kansas City taking the lead again. But to see Jermaine Kearse has meant for the Jets as a veteran wide receiver in this league has just been unbelievable. Not only does he have great getaway speed, breakaway speed, but the agility and the ability he has to haul in a ball with, it might be overthrown, but he can extend his arms. He can make a one-handed grab, haul it in, stay in bounds, get touchdowns, makes great routes, runs great routes. And it's a situation where Jermaine Kearse, where you see him with the, Teddy Bridgewater throwing at him in the OTAs. And just to see him making those another spectacular one-handed grab. And I know it's only training camp. I know it's only off-season training camp and all that stuff. But still, though, when you've got a guy who has the ability like Jermaine Kearse does to make something happen on the field, thank goodness there's at least some veteran ability and some veteran leadership in the wide receiver core that can go out there and haul that in when you're expecting it to be over your head.
Yeah, and he seems like a forgotten guy. He's the steadying hand. He's a veteran presence. He's going to make a lot of plays, You could definitely see that he doesn't have an ego. He's willing to check his ego at the door, and he's ultimately a player that is not going to be high maintenance. He's going to lead by example. He's going to make some great plays in the field. And, if you're a Jet fan, the fact that you dumped Sheldon Richardson, got rid of some of the off-the-field issues and drama that was surrounding him, and you got a player of the caliber, Jermaine Kearse, that, look, is he a number one receiver? Probably not. Is he a number two or three? On the Jets right now, he's probably a 1B or a 2A, because They don't exactly have top talent at the wide receiver position. And when he has opportunities, he's a gamer. You know, he makes plays. You alluded to during training camp, making spectacular circus grabs with Teddy Bridgewater throwing him the football. It seems that it doesn't matter. All the turmoil, even in Seattle with some of those offenses they had that were run-centric, they went for games without throwing touchdown passes with Russell Wilson. And Jermaine Kearse was always a guy that you can count on to make a big play in a big moment. And for the Jets, you know, again, it's just unfortunate because of the stage that Jermaine Kearse is at in his career. You know, he wants to play in big, meaningful games and playoff games. And that's probably in all likelihood this year with the Jets not going to be the case. But, you know, he has to lead by example. And who knows where a future contract may lead him. He may land back in the NFC West, perhaps with the San Francisco 49ers or a team like that, and team that's on the rise with Jimmy Garoppolo. So while I think Jermaine Kearse this year and perhaps next year could be part of the Jets' plans, I think ultimately, you know, as he approaches that age of 30 and he gets to this latter half of his career, he's definitely going to want to be in playoff contention. And, you know, you can't really blame him for a guy that has been to the top of the football world and won a championship and wants to get back there. The question will remain is, can he be patient enough, and can this Jets rebuild, will it take its course, or will it be fast enough for him to be a part of this Jet team when they're on the upswing contender?
Well, you know, that's the big question mark, isn't it, Rick? And for the New York Jets to hopefully have someone of that caliber like Jermaine Kearse, who will accept his role. Hopefully he will accept his role. Maybe he'll understand that, you know, he still has plenty of football left. That's for sure. I mean, if he can see the potential out of Darnold, or at least if Bridgewater will be that starting quarterback, and if Bridgewater is that starting quarterback for the next couple of years, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe he will see some playoff action. If not this year, hopefully next year. Because, you know, in a time of last year when the Jets were down a wide receiver, and Chad Hansen did all right as a start, as a spot starter, getting called for a couple of plays here and there, able to make a couple of first downs here and there. The truth of the matter is this, is that this team right now, talent level, you might say it's on the rise, but at the same time, can it come together at the right time and maybe make that run into next season? Or even though we haven't played this current season yet, maybe there'll be a surprise. Because as of right now, Miami is a question mark. Buffalo is also a question mark. One of those two was supposed to, take over as the second best team in the AFC East outside of the Jets, which we all still know that the Patriots are going to be number one, even though that time is diminishing very quickly. But the truth of the matter is this.
Yeah.
If the Jets can bring it together quick enough, maybe they'll be ahead of schedule, and maybe, just maybe, the Jets can make the playoffs if it's possible. If it's possible. Don't know if it will. Not expecting them to, Rick, but hopefully it could be a surprise.
Yeah, and this season has to be about taking a step forward. And, you know, if you're going to measure that in wins and losses, I would say try to win six or more games this year. Try to inch closer to that 500 mark. But along the way, it can't be all about winning games at the detriment of developing a young quarterback or getting this roster, some of the young players they drafted or second-year players involved and into the system. Because for me, if you're going to have tunnel vision, if all that the front office and the coaching staff is going to care about is winning as many games as possible this year, and, you know, setting back some of the younger players on this roster, I think that's going to be a monumental mistake. So, again, if I'm a Jet fan, look, if they miss out on the playoffs this year, it's 7-9. But come 2019, Sam Darnold is pro ready. He's ready to go. It's a team that can win 10 plus games. They have the roster together. They have the young guys that have that valuable experience under their belt and ready to take that next step. And you still have some of those veterans we alluded to with Quincy Enunwa, Jermaine Kearse in the fold. I think that ultimately would be the ideal scenario for the Jets. And look, anything they win above seven games would be all gravy. Let's say they do make the playoffs by some miracle stretch and that happens, then you know what, that's great. But this has to be a long-term plan. This is still a 2 or 3 year plan now that you have a young quarterback that's stepping in as the franchise guy. So I know Jet fans are going to be hasty. They're going to want to see the immediate results. They want this team back in the playoffs. I know I do, you do, ever since they were in the AFC Championship game back in the 2010-2011 season. But look, this has to be, this is a rebuild. It has to be done the right way. and they can't, at the risk of trying to rush this and put a square peg into a round hole, they have to make sure all these parts are moving and together before they can actually become playoff contenders. Because we've seen in the past when they try to build this thing and expedite it so quickly that all of a sudden, yeah, maybe they get a wild card berth and maybe they win a playoff game, but there they are 1 year or 2 years later trying to rebuild again. And we want this to be a sustainable product for the next 10, 12 years with Sam Darnold at the helm.
Exactly. Now, Rick, we're going to finish this off by looking at Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson is the luckiest guy on the face of this earth. He's the luckiest NFL player in Jetland because he is fortunate that the charges that were given to him by the local township in Florida, where he lives, that they were dropped. Robbie Anderson, who has a boatload of talent, a tremendous amount of talent. It was on display last year. Great hands, great runs, great ability to break away from the secondary, to make spectacular catches, big-time touchdowns. Anything and everything that you expect an NFL wide receiver, an up-and-coming superstar in this NFL, kind of like what Odell Beckham Jr. did for the Giants, Robbie Anderson is that guy for the Jets. And all I can say is he is the luckiest man in New York not suffering jail time for what he did. Forget about chasing or being chased by the police and not pulling over and taking his speeding ticket like a man. I'm talking about all the extracurricular activity that he mouthed off on the cop. And it's just something that I hope he learned his lesson, because he needs to understand you have great talent, Robbie. You have excellent talent, Robbie. But I always say this, Rick. You can have all the talent in the world. You can have all the technical ability in the world. You can have, you know, everything going for you on whether it's the football field, the baseball diamond, the basketball court, on the ice, or the football field or the soccer field. But you gotta have your head screwed on right. And this time it better be screwed on right, because we'll see what the NFL will do with the, you know, code of conduct policy and how many games he's gonna get suspended for. But the truth is this. He's lucky that he's not in jail right now for whatever charges they're going to add on.
And look, I'm not refuting the fact that Robbie Anderson dodged a bullet here, because clearly he was in the wrong. You know, there's conflicting reports, what was said, how he mistreated the officer. And, you know, in today's country, unfortunately, we find far too many times with, and it comes on both sides, it comes with citizens not abiding by the law, not respecting law enforcement. And on the contrary, we've seen how many videos where police are really abusing their power and using excessive force on people that has outraged people across the country. So it's a very hot button issue in our country as far as law enforcement, their relationship with citizens, treating each other in a professional manner. And for Robbie Anderson, a guy that has a lot of growing up to do, a lot of maturing to do, going to get caught up in such an ugly incident that clearly, again, evading police and whatever was allegedly said as far as threatening a police officer and a police officer's family member, there's no way I'm condoning that behavior. But for what I've seen with all the run-ins with law enforcement and all the viral videos of people and police using excessive force, it clouds your judgment, because you don't know what side to believe, whether I think it's on a case-by-case basis, whether, you know, people are just disregarding law officers and not respecting them, or whether law officers are using their power to their advantage. So I think it's definitely a social issue that needs to be addressed in our country. But for Robbie Anderson, you know, a guy that has all of the potential and, as you mentioned, all the talent in the world, and for him to get mixed up in such like an ugly incident that would jeopardize his career, his future earning potential for himself and for his family, it's something that you would hope that he's getting good advice. I know Todd Bowles has tried to take him under his wing, that maybe he has some family or support group out there that can maybe talk some sense into him, because you just hate to see him continue down this path, because we've seen it as Jet fan time and time again. I mean, you saw it with Sheldon Richardson. It became a pattern of behavior that's almost irreversible. And you'd hate for the Jets to wave bye-bye to another talented player just because they can't have their head on their shoulders and stay out of trouble and keep their nose clean when they're off the field.
Exactly, Rick. And hopefully Robbie Anderson has learned his lesson and he can move on and we can all move on. This will be the end of the Jets podcast on fansfavorite.com. We talked about rookie minicamp. We talked about OTAs. It's time to say goodbye. Until the next time, we'll get you informed of our next podcast. And then we'll get ready for the preseason. For Rick Lachlan, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. This has been the Jets podcast on fansfavorite.com through blogtalkradio.com. We will talk to you next time, and bye-bye for now.